Είστε παρέα με το SBS Ελληνικά.
We would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands, skies and waterways and pay our respects to all elders past and present. We pay our respects to the world's oldest continuing culture.
Hello everyone, my name is Pano Apostolou, you're listening to SBS Greek. Today we're turning our attention to Calliope X, one of the most dynamic online literary magazines in Australia, now releasing its seventh issue. This edition brings together powerful voices. Calliope X continues to blur the boundaries between literature, politics and the arts. One of the magazine's editors is Effie Carr, Sydney-based lawyer and author. We're going to talk about the vision behind this new issue of Calliope X, the challenges of editing such a diverse publication, and what lies ahead. Effie, thank you very much for taking the time to be and talk to SBS Greek.
Thank you very much, Panos. Thank you for the opportunity.
So, Calliope X has now released issue 7, but I want you to go and look a little bit back. And how do you see the magazine's role in Australian and international literary landscape evolving through the years, Effie?
Well, we started in 2021. That's, I would say, the main evolution, or the most current evolution, is the inclusion of the Penn poets. Penn have agreed to come on board and give us access to poets from their organisation. And so that's the most interesting current development. Mm-hmm. But we have focused on publishing people in their native language where possible, with English translations, of course. Mm-hmm. And this issue is no exception. So I think we focus on and do a little bit differently from other literary, Australian literary journals. We're very happy to do that because we believe it's very important to publish people in their own voices. We're very interested in different diasporas and communities and different cultural backgrounds. It's been wonderful. And of mm-hmm. course, you know, we work with translators and we give the credit to the translators, of course, which is also extremely important. We mm-hmm. feel that's important as well.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Penn? What is the Penn?
It's an organisation that supports political prisoners who are creatives around the world. And they, well, have been active speaking to us and with the poetry editors in particular. But they protect freedom of expression and campaign on behalf of, you know, writers who are at risk of being silenced. I mean, they're already often in jail or you know, facing prosecution for their political views, and their writing and their creative work is often silenced, and you don't hear it. So Penn is instructive in campaigning, raising awareness about people who are in prison, fighting censorship, and promoting the voices of people who are marginalised. So this fits very much with our manifesto and really our ideas and what we're trying to do in bringing diverse voices to the Australian literary landscape.
I would like to hear a little bit about this interview of Peter Lisiotis and Anna Kwani. Can you tell us a few things about these two beautiful artists? Can I call them
yes.
poets? They're
multifaceted.
Legends.
Yes, they've got so many aspects to them, both of them. Yes, I'm very happy that we were able to do the reciprocal interview in issue 7, this current issue. In the previous issue, in issue 6, Peter Lisiotis was interviewed by Anna Kwani, and so he's returning the favour in a sense. He's interviewing Anna Kwani. So it was wonderful to be able to do that. Anna Kwani is a dear friend of mine. She's been working as a writer, visual artist, painter, musician and teacher for over 50 years. And Peter too, I mean, he's again, very multifaceted, writing poetry, his visual art. So it was just We were very happy to showcase them and their work. I'm also very happy for younger writers and younger creatives mm-hmm. and artists to see and understand that there are creative people, you know, who have gone before us. And in a sense, you know, they're trailblazers for us. It paved the way in many ways for us.
Can you share us a few names that they're including in the new issue, this of these voices?
In Anna's interview, she refers to voices that have long gone, voices or names rather. She refers to people that are forgotten about, particularly in the Sydney writing scene. And so the interview for me, I think, is important because it showcases how the Sydney writing scene was, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, and the challenges, you know, she faced as a woman, especially, you know, and butting up against some of these problems with, you know, her male contemporaries. So, and fighting to be heard, you know. So I really think it's an important interview. What I really like about it is that I think it showcases not the totality of her work, but a great part of it. So she talks not only about her writing in this interview, but she talks about her visual artwork, her musical work, you know, her work as a teacher. It'll be an eye-opener for a lot of people. The other thing I think that's very important for young creatives also to see is the different way of working that Anna and Peter Lisiotis highlight in their respective interviews. They sometimes have to work outside the mainstream. And as creatives, we feel that, oh, there's only one way. If you write a book, you have to just be published, or you have to be published by a mainstream publisher, or, you know, if you have a poem, you have to publish it in a literary journal. But Anna and Peter show in their interviews that there's not just one way of working as a creative in Australia, that, you know, you can, for instance, like Anna, run a blog and post your work on this. You can engage in, you know, self-publishing, which Anna and Peter Lisiotis have had to do in their life as creatives. So I think that's very important and good to see that not only are they still working, I think Peter Lisiotis is a major exhibition at the moment in Melbourne.
At Monash University in Clayton campus, yeah, the library.
Yeah, that's right. And Anna, every time I go to her studio, I'm amazed. She's always working on something. She's just finished a major exhibition of her prints at the Shop Gallery, which is her own gallery, and she's organising another one in October. So, you know, it's a never-ending stream of creativity. You know, they never stop, which is wonderful to see. And it's great to see that.
Somebody will say, Effie, that Australia is an open-minded country, progressive country. It's an open democracy. But again, as you said, many artists, they are blocked from the mainstream media, mainstream, you know, art. Why is this happening? Why we don't allow these voices to go out there, especially, and also voices from a non-Anglo-Saxon background?
It's a problem because, you know, for so long, literary journals, mainstream media have focused on only certain types of voices, voices that people think that they want to hear, or what they thought were real Australian voices. Mm-hmm. But in this magazine, we really wanted to show and showcase what real Australia looks and sounds like. It's not just voices from one particular group. It's so diverse. And in fact, not just people from different cultural backgrounds, but people in the LGBTIQ plus communities, Indigenous, young emerging writers, older creatives as well. So it's a big community. It's very important to have a place where people feel safe, mm-hmm. where people can approach and publish their work, or they can find their voice and it can be heard.
You're hosting a fundraiser this coming November in Thornbury at Capers. What it takes financially to have a magazine like that? You need money,
It does. It does. You need funds. We've tried a few times to obtain funding from the various funding bodies unsuccessfully. We've decided that we will fund the magazine, fund the journal ourselves. And that means organising fundraisers, in many cases, funding it ourselves out of our own pockets. just to keep it going. So the fundraiser has become very important. It's often the only way we can get funds to keep the magazine going. So I really urge your listeners, if you're free and on the 30th of November, I'm going to plug the fundraiser panel.
Sure.
There'll be a small fee to enter, of course, because it is a fundraiser after all, but there'll be poets. It'll be a great night. We did one last year, and that's why we've got an issue 7. We've got 8 poets confirmed so far. There'll be music, possibly live music. That's still to be confirmed. But it's on the 30th of November at Capers, which is a cafe restaurant in Thornbury. It's 843 High Street, Thornbury. So we do welcome everyone to come along and support us and have a fun night out as well.
Are there other ways that people, listeners, how can they contribute?
Yes. If people, your listeners, go to issue 7 and love it, there is a donation button. Mm-hmm. Please donate if you can, because we are all volunteers. There are 9 of us, 9 editors, including the journal designer, and we are all volunteers. We all volunteer our time. We're not for profit. We don't make any money from the magazine. We just do it because we feel there's a real need for this publication. There's the need to step in and correct an imbalance that we see in the Australian literary scene.
We need to mention that there is no paywall for someone to go online and read the magazines. Is that correct?
No, that's correct. No paywall. We've discussed this as editors many times. I know a lot of other magazines do, or they'll put some articles behind a paywall, but the magazine is free and remains so. That's why we really would urge that if you love what we're doing and would like to help us, that'd be great. We really appreciate all the help we can get, yes.
If someone Googles Calliope X, it will come straight to your website, yes?
That's right. That's right. I mean, I met someone recently at an event at Glee Books, and she was interested in the work of Antigone Kafala, and I mentioned that, oh, there's a fantastic interview in issue, I think it was issue 5. It was her final interview, the interview she gave to Anna Kawani and Graciela Scaralis before she died. Sometimes it's a trove now, the magazine or the journal, for important cultural work, an archive, that's the word I'm looking for. It's an important cultural archive, I think.
And on a personal level, why are you doing this, Effie? Why have you been volunteering for all these things?
Yes. It's a good question, Pano. Sometimes I find myself when I'm very busy and you know, I think, well, you know, why? But I suppose it's because starting this writing journey myself, you know, I've written a novel and I've just finished writing another one, which is not published yet. But I'd like to engage with other fellow writers to meet them. I would not have met Anna Kwani. I would not have met any of these people if I had not written a book. So I think it's important for us to have a conversation and talk to each other, also to talk about some of the difficulties that we face in getting published, in getting our work out there. But it's mainly to have a community and to find a community where we can all talk to each other and publish other people that we believe in and whose work we want to promote. The other thing that funding or being free of, you know, funding from arts bodies, being tied to arts bodies like, you know, some of the more mainstream ones, is that it gives us independence, Pano. So we are completely free to publish what we think is good and what we think deserves to be published and deserves, and the voices that we think deserve to be heard, like the Pen voice, like in this issue, Amanda Akanis's voice. It frees us up, even though it would be wonderful to obtain funding. There is a certain freedom that comes with being completely independent as well.
And also you have presence in social media, Facebook, Instagram?
Yes, we've got all of that. My fellow editors have been busy promoting the magazine through those media avenues. So it's so easy to just click on Calliope X and all the past issues will come up too. So there's just some wonderful interviews, some great stories, fantastic poems. I urge your listeners to take a look.
Effie Gara, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Pano. Thank you very much.
Θέλετε να ακούσετε περισσότερες ιστορίες σαν και αυτήν? Ακούστε στο Apple Podcast, στο Google Podcast, στο Spotify ή οπουδήποτε ακούτε podcast.